This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Guys, welcome back to Pure Evil MMA Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Eve Letty. We got a special guest joining us once again here on Pure Evil MMA, a true vet, I should say, on Pure Evil MMA Podcast. We got Sean T joining us, which you guys remember from last year's show. I mean, the first time I spoke with Sean T was probably about 2015, 2016, maybe. So you guys saw him on Dana White's Tuesday Contenders last year. You also know him from the Teed Lock from CFFFC. So what's going on, Teed? What have you been up to, man? It's been a minute.
Yeah, man, it's been a while. Like, had shoulder surgery since the last time I talked to you. You know, moved to Tom's River. A bunch of different stuff happened.
So you're actually in New Jersey. So before we start anything, man, since you're a Jersey boy, Frankie Edgar versus Max Holloway, bro. Obviously, you got Frankie Edgar there, right?
Yeah, we're out of the same camp, man. I've known that guy for, like, 10 years, man. Such a good guy. Really? I'm glad he's getting that opportunity.
You've known for 10 years? So how old are you exactly? You're around my age, right?
I'm 27.
27. I just turned 30, man, so enjoy your 20s, because I woke up when I turned 30. I was like, oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, I'm 30 now? This is weird. But you've known him for 10 years, so that means you were 17 when you met Frankie Edgar. So it was about the time when he was about to be the champ, right?
Yeah, it was. I just started at Ricardo Almeida's when all that stuff was going down.
Jesus. And what has it been like training alongside somebody like that? I mean, what have you really learned about Frankie training alongside? Because I talk to guys that are at big camps like Jackson's, you know, down in Albuquerque or ATT, and they just say, like, when you walk in the room, you just feel this presence of just this championship mentality. And I talk about this all the time. Like, you know, when I hang out with my friends from high school, it's like you outgrow that and you're looking for something more. So you surround yourself with these people with the championship mentality. Like, I love interviewing fighters because it helps make me a better me. Is that what happens when you're around somebody like Frankie?
Yeah, just like him himself, he's such a good guy. Like, he'll talk to anybody, you know, stuff like that. But, like, just watching him when he trains and stuff like that, like, the biggest thing with him is he doesn't stop. Like, I swear that guy, you know, the Energizer Bunny is envious of him. Like, he just does not stop. His gas tank doesn't go close to E ever.
So we are actually looking at your Instagram page. And for people that want to follow you, it's at TeedMMA. And in the first picture, man, what do we got going on here? You got a big smile on your face. I see papers in front of you. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so I just signed a contract to fight August 16th for the CFFC at the Hard Rock Casino.
Oh, my God. And you just come off of shoulder surgery, so you got to be really anxious, right? Like, August 16th, it's going down Hard Rock Casino. Man, how anxious are you to get back in there, man? I got a smile on my face, excited.
Yeah, man. It's by the time I fight, it'll be over a year since I fought, because I fought last July, end of July 31st, I think it was. So yeah, it's a long time coming. But it's weird. I've never been more hungry now. Like, I just, so, like, I guess I got like a chip on my shoulder for a lack of words, you know?
Well, I've heard a lot of people talk about this. And I think the most important one that I'm going to bring up that people can relate to is, you know, when Conor McGregor got his surgery, like when he first came into the UFC, right before he came to the UFC, he had some time off to, you know, recovery at a year, and he just sat there watching old footage, old fights, old boxing fights, this and that, and he said it changed so much, like him just being able to recover his body and just get like mentally prepared and like learn new things. And then when he returned, he was a whole different machine. What were you doing during this entire year to kind of, you know, because you can't really be active, so what were you really doing?
Yeah, it was actually, like, I would still be going to practices and just, like, sitting there and watching, you know, stuff like that. You know, luckily I have teammates like, you know, Corey Anderson and Carl and stuff like that. So I was able to sit there and watch what they were doing. You know, I switched over right at the tail end of my last camp to Killer Bee Combat Sports.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
So I, you know, spent a lot of time with Brian Wright in my off time, you know, talking over things, you know, watching things. And then when I was able to start, you know, not even like hit pads and stuff like that, you know, move around and start to work kicks and all that different stuff. So, you know, my game has developed so much in this off time. It's crazy. It's developed more in this off time than it has in the years I've been fighting. It's weird.
Would you actually because like in this day and age, like, they want you to be active. Like, you look at somebody like Cowboy Cerrone, he fights every month, every 2 months. But I feel like it's a lot better for fighters, you know, even if they don't get an injury, to kind of just let your body heal. Like, you know, I heard Chael Sonnen say this, like, the sport, like, don't rush yourself. It's about the longevity of it. Don't rush yourself through it. So would you recommend that to other fighters, to heal up instead of rushing back inside the cage?
I mean,
it goes both ways, right?
Sword, yeah. Like, you know, if you're trying to go somewhere real fast, like, you know, I got, you know, what, 7 pro fights in like 3.5-4 years, whatever it was. And then all my amateur fights too. So I got like 10 fights in like within like 4 years. So like that was my first actual break. But, you know, if you go in there and you don't take any damage or anything, that's fine. But like going back to back camps, like if you have opponents drop out and stuff like that, it sucks. But it's that fighter mentality. Fighters want to fight.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a double-edged sword. Like, you want to stay fresh, you want to stay active, and then, you know, if you're out of the cage for a year sometimes, it's a little hard to get going. So that's my next question to you. What are you doing to prepare in your camp to make sure you're not... Well, first, is cage rust real? Do you believe in cage rust before this? And how are you preparing to not have something like that happen?
I feel like cage rust is... It's a part of the person. Like, if that's your thing, you're like, oh my God, I've been out of the cage for so long, you know, but, you know, I'm training with, you know, real high-end guys. Like, luckily, like, Carl's in camp right now, so I'm training real hard with him. You know, Corey's always working out and training and stuff like that, you know, and then Steven Regman's on the Contender Series in, like, 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is, and then Rex Harris is in there. So it's like all these guys that are in fights, I'm basically, you know, before I was in fight camp, I was in fight camp. So, like, I don't find that that's going to be a real factor for me because I'm already, like, if I doubt it myself, if you doubt yourself after a long period of time like that, then, yeah, that's going to be something you're going to be like, ah, I had ring rust. That's why I went in here and got my ass beat. But, you know.
So, listen, man, obviously training along these kind of guys, the expectation is up here. Who do you have in your corner that's going to help you during this fight in a couple of weeks? Like, who do you have that's going to really, you know, point these things out in case something's happened in the first round? Is it going to be different from the past, or is it the same guys you usually have?
It's like one different person. So I have Corey Anderson, Dante Rivera, and Brian Wright in my corner.
Those are the guys I would want in front of me if I went into war, or even the zombie apocalypse. Like, I'd feel safe with guys like that, man. What is Corey, before we talk about more of your career, what has Corey been up to, man? Because he's such a great guy, such high spirits. He's always having a good time on social media. Well, what has he been up to, and what has he got going on right now?
Yeah, well, he just had a kid a few months ago. So he's been, like, big time daddy duty and stuff like that. Like, we still, you know, hang out. Like, me and him are big bow hunters, so, you know, we go and, you know, set up some stands and, you know, set up stuff for bow season, even like go shooting in his yard and stuff like that. But he's still, you know, behind the scenes, you know, working his ass off like usual.
I see this. You guys went to the Great American Outdoor Show with you and Corey went?
Yeah.
What is that exactly? Like a competition, or what is that?
No, so that's a it's like one of the biggest like hunting conventions like in the country. And yeah, so we went there, met a bunch of people, and you know, like I just linked up through Corey for a company called Aces and Arrows out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Nice. And they full sponsorshipped me for my fight, so I got like a brand new PSC bow and stuff like that. So technically, I'm a professional hunter now, I guess.
Have you actually been hunting before? Like, and if so, how long have you been doing that for? And what do you hunt?
Yeah, I've been bow hunting on and off for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. But I only really, really got hard into it about the last, like, 3 years. And it's just, I love it. It's like, it's something to do that's just not fighting that gives you that different facet, like, you know.
Adrenaline kind of just, like,
edgy. Exactly, like that thrill of the hunt kind of thing.
You feel like I've never been, but I can only imagine. It's like being a kid again, like, going on an adventure in the woods, just like so primal. Like, I can only imagine. But my issue is, like, I'm such an animal lover. I feel like it would be so hard for me to kill an animal. And like my dad, I was raised by like bikers and stuff. So like, I've been at my dad's buddies' houses. Them skinning deers and this and that. And I'm just like, oh, like, I couldn't do that. Like, what do you hunt for? And do you feel bad killing like certain animals? Or like, what do you hunt for first off?
Well, I hunt for normally just, like, white-tailed deer.
Okay.
But it's just, like, I eat everything that I kill. Like, that's a big thing. And then, like, if just the, like, amount of prep work that I put into it, like, you know, out of season, you know, stands and food plots and, you know, during season food and, you know, trail cameras and just, like, how much time you invest into it. Like, when you finally get to, you know, kill a deer, you know, that's not, but it's not always guaranteed. Like, you know, there was plenty of times I went out last year and I didn't even see anything. Really? But, you know, I like the experience of being up there. Like, getting to harvest an animal, you know, is cool. That's a really huge, you know, goal to have. But, you know, you're not guaranteed it. So it's kind of, you know, I like to go out there and it's really peaceful being out there. You know, you're basically one with nature, you know.
How far do you guys go out? Because I can imagine, like I said, I don't have much experience in it, but if you're going out there and you land, you know, a heavy-ass deer, how the hell do you carry that back to the truck if you're way out in the woods? Like, how far do you guys go, and what do you do if you are out in the middle of the woods and you land, you know, a big monster?
Yeah, it varies from different spots. Like, we have spots where we're only, you know, 200 yards into the woods, and we have a few spots where we're like, you know, like a mile into the woods. But if you land something really, really big, you
better have Corey Anderson with you.
Right? But it actually sounds pretty funny, is that you put them on, you go buy like a little kid's sled and you put it on and tie a rope to it.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. What's the biggest one you ever caught?
The biggest one I got was actually last year. I got a really good size eight-pointer.
And, just explain what that means. I know what that means. It's going by the horns. Explain to the listeners out there that's like an eight-pointer.
So it's the points on the antlers. How many points are on the antlers?
Did you end up bringing it home, mounted on the wall for a mama teed?
No. My girlfriend Krista would kill me.
Is she a vegan or something like that, or is she just an animal lover?
No, she's a interior designer for Restoration Hardware. So my house has a certain flow to it.
Yeah. Every room has its own theme. Man, you don't have your own, like, when you get a house, are you going to have a man cave? Like, I mean, as a hunter, you're probably so proud of getting that eight-pointer that you probably, you got to feel some type of way about not keeping it, right?
It's at one of my buddy's house, at least somebody is getting to enjoy it. But, you know, when I get my own, you know, we get our own bigger house and stuff like that, I'm definitely going to have my own little, like, hunting lair.
Now, since you're getting back into the fight game, how much weight did you put on during the time away, or did you kind of maintain your weight around? Because you're a big boy. You're fighting a heavyweight?
Yep.
So it doesn't really matter, but you got to stay at, what, 265, right? Under 265?
Yeah. Yeah, 266 with the pound allowance. So
where are you at, if you don't mind asking? Are you under that or?
No, I'm right about there. Like, I'll probably be there in like another week or so.
And what,
like,
you...
the whole, like, off time, I gain weight super, super easy. So when I'm not like working out and stuff, I gain a bunch of weight. Like, I didn't break the 300s or anything, but, you know, I wasn't 260, you know.
Honestly, man, like, the winter is always rough for me. I always gain like an extra 20 pounds. I feel a little guilty. And you know how it is, like, social media nowadays, Like, you see all these guys, it's much harder for girls. Even if the girls claim they're into dad bods nowadays, it's just, like, I'd rather be where I was last summer than gain 20 pounds towards the next summer, especially turning 30. So, like, what's a tip that I could use within a month to, like, you know, go on a diet? Like, what would you recommend me eating or to stay away from to lose a couple of pounds?
Yeah, I just stay away from, like, a lot of sugar, and I'll try to do, like, as little processed stuff as possible. Like, that's a big thing for me, is that, like, I would have gained a lot more weight, but I don't do, like, candy and sweets and stuff like that. I don't drink soda. I only drink water and coffee. So, like, that's how I end up. Like, I don't drink beer and, you know, or hard liquor and stuff like that. So that's how I end up keeping my weight to a reasonable spot.
I drink a lot of whiskey, man, and especially I drink the Jim Beam Fire, so it's so sugary. So it's like for instance, somebody showed me this picture of, you know, if you have one can of soda a day, the amount of sugar that's in that is like a whole Ziploc bag, like one of the big Ziploc bags. It's like, you look at that, and you're just disgusted about it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big part of trying to lose weight. Now, moving forward, man, CBD Daily, is that one of your new sponsors here?
Yeah, so CBD Daily is obviously a CBD company that I started working with for this camp for, you know, recovery and stuff like that. For, like, they have stuff that's called, like, an X oil and stuff like that. Like, if a joint's being really sore, you know, I'll rub that on there. It works it out. If I have any cuts or anything, they have this CBD salve that works really, really well. You know, they do, like, vapes and stuff like that, but I'm not really into, like, vaping and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine as a fighter you wouldn't want to do that. I'm sure they have, like, tinctures and all that.
Yeah, they have the drops. I do the drops for, like, if I'm having a hard time sleeping or something like that, I'll take, like, a dropper of the drops and stuff for sleep.
I'm also seeing they have a lot of fighters, which I love this. I love any company that's out there that is sponsoring fighters, especially to do with the recovery. Ashley Evan Smith is one of their sponsees. That's awesome, man. So I got to ask you this, man, like, what's the difference that you can tell when you take CBD compared to when you haven't taken it? Like, what differences does it really make? Can you tell?
Yeah, for me, it's like a really big, like anti-inflammation kind of stuff.
Okay.
Like, I can feel my joints being a little bit better and stuff like that. Definitely with the sleep is one of the biggest things that I notice. Like, if I take that stuff, I better have, like, 8 hours of sleep, like, lined up, because I'm sleeping hard. Like, that's what I really take it for. I mainly take it for is that, you know, joint stuff, you know, obviously. But that's a big thing for me, is sleep.
I think it's so crazy that, you know, CBD comes from, you know, the marijuana plant, but yet you don't get high off of it. Like, it counteracts. Like, if you're too high, they say take CBD and it actually helps you come down from the high that you're having. I just think it's so crazy that how far we've come in the past couple of years with, you know, these fighters being able to take CBD. Do you think it's going to be a matter of time before you guys are able to actually take THC? Because I had this conversation with Elias Theodorou. You know, I talked about this a lot because it really does bother me, and it's had a real effect on my life and my family's life and a lot of my friends too. Like, you know, just the fact that these doctors subscribe opiates so easily, instead of these fighters going there and saying, I'd rather recover with some THC. I mean, they say it's a painkiller, but let's be real. It doesn't really do anything for the pain. It just gets your mind off of it and just makes you happy and kind of numb. It's not really, really healing your pain. So, and it's so dangerous if you really don't do your research on it. So do you think it's going to be a matter of time before THC is actually an option for recovery over opiates? Because it's a dangerous game there.
Well, yeah, the whole thing about painkillers and stuff like that, like, that's a very slippery slope. Like, that stuff, it's crazy. Like, that, it's ridiculous. But,
ruin,
you know,
your life.
Having THC and stuff like that, you know, like, even, like, the CBD stuff, like, it had no THC in it, and it people fought it tooth and nail. You know, so it's only a matter of time before that kind of stuff becomes legal, especially nowadays when everybody, there's so much research going into it. There's so many benefits that are coming out, you know, people, you know, from everything from, you know, Alzheimer's to seizures to everything, you know, people are finding really good benefits to all the stuff that, you know, for years everybody swore was like the worst thing that you could do. So if the times are changing.
Even for children. I mean, for the longest time, people were saying, oh, THC helps children not have seizures. Well, CBD does the same thing, doesn't get them high. And I feel like that was a huge breakthrough for the marijuana scene, the hemp scene, the medical scene, really. That was really big. So moving forward here, man, honestly, we got to ask you this. What are you expecting in this fight? I mean, what do you know about the opponent? Do you know the opponent yet? Like, what can we expect here with this fight? Who are you fighting?
Well, I can't release who I'm fighting yet. The CFFC has to do that. I'll get in trouble. Okay. I'll have Arius yell at me over text message or something.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be a really good fight. You know, it's a very... It's not a layup fight. You know, I'm not one of those guys. You know me. I don't like to go for easy fights. I will fight anybody. And, you know, I'd rather fight a tough opponent and prove to everybody that, you know, hey, did you guys forget about me? You know, I'm here to stay. You know, just because I got hurt doesn't mean I'm not going anywhere. You know, but it's a really good fight to come back to. You know, it's a good test. You know, it's not a layup fight. It's versus a good opponent. Without going into any details, you know, it's going to be an exciting fight. I don't think the person's going to be able to deal with, you know, the new Norwegian nightmare, whatever you want to say.
And the teed lock. Let's not forget the teed lock.
Yeah, well, so I'm going to try just to, I feel like this fight is just going to be really violent. Like a little bit different side to me that not a lot of people have seen, but a lot of my teammates have been seeing it in practice and stuff. I'm going out there to be violent this time around.
Let's go back to what you just said, because I think that's really important. You want to come back. You want to make an impact. You want to do it against a tough opponent. You know, in boxing, they do the exact opposite of that. They kind of get you to warm up if you've been away for a while. I mean, it really hasn't been that long for you. But you do see that in boxing. Are you doing like a lot of sparring right now to get ready for this fight? Like how are you preparing to get ready for a tougher opponent instead of coming in to what do they call it in boxing? Just a warm up fight.
Yeah, I've never been about that. Like my entire career, you know, I've fought guys that you know where this is who you want to fight. This guy's the guy, and it's just like if I have to pick and choose who I'm fighting in this, I didn't get into this sport to, you know, pick and choose and make my way to somewhere. Because by the time you get to the UFC, there's no picking and choosing your fights. You're eventually going to get into that top 15, and every single person there is going to kick the shit out of you. So, you know, that you just, like, I like to fight. So I want to fight the best person out there.
Especially at heavyweight, man. Look at what we got in the UFC right now. Did you catch JDS versus Francis? And what did you think about that fight?
Yeah, I feel like that man is slinging mailboxes. It doesn't matter how he touches you. I feel like somebody just has to run in there and take him down. I feel like that's going to be the best thing.
What did you think about JDS's game plan? I thought that was very, very risky on his end. I mean, I just wrote an article today at pureevilmma.com about... You know, I felt like JDS really wasn't showing him much respect in that first round, which we all know that first round with Francis, man, beware. After watching the Overeem fight, after, you know, he's gone through everybody. What did you see there? Did you feel like JDS wasn't giving him much respect, or what was going on there?
Yeah, I feel like that everybody, for some reason, thinks that his power is like a he got lucky or like a hype thing. Like, no, that dude hits hard. Like, I think the best part, like, I don't understand why everybody just doesn't follow what Stipe did. Stipe had the perfect game plan towards him. Take him down, beat him up, drag him into deep water. You know, that's what you got to do with a guy like that. Because he's not going to have that, you know, I'm going to punch you into space in the third or fourth round, you know?
Now, honestly, man, like... There's really no one left for him to fight. Do they give him the title shot next, whether DC or Stipe wins, or do they give him another rematch for somebody? Do you think he's ready for the rematch, or a title shot or a rematch for Stipe? What do you think the UFC does with Francis?
I don't know. I feel like him versus any of those guys. I'd like to see him fight versus Stipe again. I'm a big Stipe fan. And but I think him versus DC, I think DC is going to do to him what he did to what's it, Anthony Johnson?
Yeah,
where he just went in, took him down, smashed him out. You know, I feel like that's the game plan that you have to do that, because Anthony Johnson is the same thing. You know, he would just starch people out of nowhere.
Let's not forget the first fight with DC and Rumble. I mean, he almost knocked DC out, and then DC was able to get the. That was so exciting.
Yeah.
That was intense, man. So, as we get towards the end of this interview, man, did you catch the new Contender Series that's going on right now? And did you see the new facility that they're at? What did you think about it?
Yeah, they're at the Apex Arena now that they're calling it. It's pretty cool. Like, it's still the same kind of thing. You still don't walk out with, like, any walkout music and stuff like that. It's different being on there, man. It was completely different. Like, when I was on there, it was even less people. Like, when I walked out into the UFC gym, it was, or like the Tough gym, whatever you want to call it, dude, there was like 35 people in there. No sound. You could hear a pin drop. It was crazy. But now that they have like an arena, you know, you hear people cheering and stuff like that. You know, you obviously get more people in there and stuff like that. It's such a great opportunity for people, you know. I wish I wouldn't have got hurt in the first 30 seconds of my fight, you know, but it is what it is.
That's a really good thing that you just brought up there. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people that were on the Contender Series about that exact thing. When you walk out, the people that are there are your friends and your family. It's very quiet. It seems very awkward. Does that raise more anxiety or, like, you know, just like, you know, little shakes over having more people there? Like, having more people there, does that get your adrenaline going more compared to not having people there?
Well, a lot of people feed off the crowd. Like, you see people walk out and they're slapping everybody's hands and they're yelling, they're screaming. They have fans that are yelling and screaming. Like, some people are really fed off of the crowd. So, like, that kind of atmosphere is not really conducive for that. So it makes you fight. Like, you, it's basically like you're having the most important sparring session of your life.
Yeah, that I'm glad that you answered that way, because that makes a lot of sense. I feel like, do you feel like that would have made more of a difference when you walked out? I mean, not to make excuses or this or that, but would you have rather fought with more people around you?
No, the whole thing really doesn't affect me, like, people-wise. Okay. But I think that reason it doesn't affect me is that, like, I wear glasses. So I can't see anybody outside of the cage anyway, so.
So it could be 35 or 3,500.
Exactly.
All right, moving forward, man, I mean, you're going to be fighting for CFFC, so why do you love that? Like, what makes CFFC your favorite promotion to fight for? I mean, what do they have to offer that makes it fun for you, that makes it enjoyable, and makes you keep coming back?
Yeah, so this will be my seventh pro fight for them. I just love fighting for them. Just like the atmosphere, the way they run it is very, very smooth. Like, from fighting with them to going and fighting, like, on the Contender Series and stuff like that, which was run just like a UFC event, it was very smooth. The transition was almost identical. You know, you had to deal with, you know, production people and stuff like that, you know, pictures, filming. They set you up just to be in that spotlight, just like you were being in the UFC, which was the best thing. Plus, I love fighting for them. You know, I only fight for them in New Jersey. You know, it's like hometown kind of thing for me. I really like it. I get all my family and friends. You know, it's a really good thing, especially it's on UFC Fight Pass now, which is awesome, because people that are fans of mine from different states and stuff like that can watch it, because I have a lot of family in different states, like Arizona and stuff.
I got two more questions before we let you go here. I really want to go on a summer vacation, and I feel like Jersey's the perfect spot to go pick up girls, and I'm single, and if you guys have been following the show, you know my love life. Like, I bring girls home every week. I mean, it gets a little crazy, a little distracting sometimes from, you know, doing the show or this or that, but if I were to go to Jersey this summer and rent a house for a weekend, where in Jersey would you tell me to go, and what would you want me to check out in Jersey? Like, what's a good spot for a weekend to go check out?
I don't know, man.
Don't go to
really
Jersey, you're saying. Don't go to Jersey.
I've never really been into the whole, like, I'm sure you could go to the Jersey Shore anywhere and be fine. I know, like, DJs and stuff is super popular, but Yeah, I never really got into the whole party scene and all that stuff. I've been with the same girl about 8 years now, so.
Ooh, damn, bro. Are you going to put a ring on it or what?
Listen, I'm getting enough pressure from everybody. I don't need it from you.
That's great. That's great. Sean, I really want to thank you so much. Last but not least, what can everybody expect when they tune into your fight for CFFC in just a couple of weeks here?
Yeah, man, I'm looking to put on a really good show. I expect nothing but me going in there and just being dominant. I just want to be as violent as I can be. You know, I see a finish within the first two rounds. Anything else is unacceptable.
And, man, I mean, it was so big when you were doing the teed lock back to back to back. It was building up a lot, man. Did you feel a lot of pressure that you had to go in there and get that exact finish done every time? Like, did that start turning into an issue? Not an issue, but did you feel pressure to perform, like, your past fights because of that? Because you were getting known for that submission?
Nah, the teed lock's just a thing. Like, it's just, you know, it's a cool thing to have in the back pocket, but it's not something I'm like, I need to get this move or else, you know, anything. Like, I just, if you've watched any of my fights, like, I have two finishes from the, you know, quote-unquote teed lock, and then, you know, I hunt for submissions my entire fight.
Yeah, you've got a lot of finishes, man.
Yeah, so I'm always looking for the finish. You give me anything, I'm breaking it off, and that's just the kind of thing I do.
And, guys, it's going down Friday, August 16th at the Hard Rock Casino. And AC, where could people tune in to watch this? Is it going to be, where are they going to be airing this?
Yeah, it'll be on UFC Fight Pass.
Hell yeah, there we go. Guys, if you are in the area, you can get tickets. I'm sure you have tickets, right, Teed?
Yeah, dude, you can just hit me up on Instagram, stuff like that.
And I'll have all the links down below. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at Teed MMA. Also on Twitter. But, oh, wait, you got a story about your Twitter account. What happened?
Oh, no. So I've had my Twitter for so long, it's just at Teed. But apparently there's a band overseas that abbreviation is Teed. Apparently the band's called Totally Enormous Extinct Dinosaurs.
What is it, Child's Band?
I have no clue. I've never even listened to one song. But I get tweeted all the time for people just tagging at Teed, meaning this band. But I get, like, I guess when they have shows and stuff, sometimes I'll get hundreds of tweets at me. You know, had an awesome show. You know, it was great seeing, you know, at Teed at some weird place. It's so funny.
You need to start coming out to them then. You need to start, like, you need to find a good song that they have. And it better not be, like, some Waldo or some, like, you know, Babar kind of music. But, you know, hopefully it's like a death metal band or something badass, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I actually have to go listen to some of their stuff. I just haven't.
Also, Twitch. Are you still doing Twitch?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a set schedule now. Starting last week I did. I'm doing Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at like 8:30, 9 o'clock is what I'm doing until like 11:30 at night.
What are you playing right now? Like, what's hot?
I've been playing with Kristen and a bunch of other friends. We've been playing Overwatch lately.
All right, because I know there's a lot of fighters out there that are into that. I mean, Sean O'Malley, Joe Giannetti, I mean, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. I mean, Twitch is hot. So, guys, make sure to go give Teed a follow at twitch.tv/TeedMMA. Sean, you know what we like to do at this point in the interview. I hand the imaginary microphone over to you. If you have any sponsors, any shout-outs, anything at all, the floor is now all yours.
Yeah, big thanks to all my sponsors, you know, Eat Clean Bro, Thrive, New Jersey Nutrition, a big sponsor that I just picked up, Aces and Arrows Archery, you know, love you guys, you know, fantastic company. If you're ever looking for a bow, any kind of compound bow, stuff like that, definitely look those guys up. And then another one is just Bow Creek Outdoors that supplies all my, you know, trail cams and deer feed and stuff like that. Behringer's, and then thank you to all my fans. You know, you guys are the reason I do this. I love seeing you guys. I love seeing the support that I'm getting from all this stuff. I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart.
Eat Clean Bro, they've been sponsoring you for years now, right?
Yeah, they've been sponsoring me since my third or fourth pro fight, something like that. Third, I think. Yeah.
So, definitely a huge shout out to Eat Clean, bro. Sean, I want to thank you so much. Tell your mother I said hi. She's a really good friend of mine now over the last couple of years since I interviewed back in like 2015 or 16 on Cage Side Submissions. So make sure you tell her I said hello, and it's always a pleasure and honor for you to come on this program. And we wish you best of skill, best of luck moving forward. Tell Corey he got to come on Pure Evil in May. Tell your coaches I said what up. And have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you, man.
Oh, shout out to Ricardo Almeida as well. God bless.
Thank you.
There we guys go. Sean Deed joining us for like, what, the fifth time here on Pure Evil in May? Always a pleasure. So excited. Like, I was wondering what was going on with him. I forgot that he had an injury, and I've been talking to his mother for a while. We have a Twitter chat room, which has kind of died down over the last couple of months because people just causing a lot of drama on there. I had to let that die down, but there's a lot of people that always check in with me. Mrs. Teed is one of my favorite people, and you know, Sean is such an exciting fighter to watch, and there's no way I'm gonna miss this fight. And it's going down just a couple of weeks. I mean, he's got so much going for him as a heavyweight, and if you just look at all the new fresh faces inside the UFC, inside the heavyweight division, I like that he's, I mean, it could go both ways. Like, I like that he's challenging himself, coming back after a year, and not just taking, you know, a smoker fight, not just taking a warm-up like we see in boxing all the time. This is going to be exciting. This is a fight that you don't want to miss. And the way that he was able to promote it, man, he says he's looking for the finish within the second round. He said this is going to be a banger. It's going to be on UFC Fight Pass. You don't want to miss it. And also, what an interesting talk about going bow hunting. I mean, that's something I've always wanted to do for so long, but I just feel so weird about killing animals. I mean, if you guys look around here, I got 6 rats over here. I got a huge, I just got a new aquarium, by the way. I got it for like $5. So it's like a $400 aquarium. I got dogs. Like, I'm a huge animal lover. I feel like it would be so difficult. But if you are going to go hunting, I feel you need to eat all of it. You need to make use of all of it. But here's the other thing. I feel like I had a long talk with a vegan the other night at the bar, and she was telling me, she was like, if you had to make all of your own meals, if you had to kill to eat a cheeseburger, would you do that? And I was thinking about that, like, that would take so long to do. Like, no, I mean, I feel like we are so, I feel like it's, you know, you don't think about that when you go to the grocery store and you get a 6-pack of burgers or you get hot, which I don't even want to know what's in my hot dogs, but at the end of the day, I think that would be really exciting going hunting. It's something I want to do. I love fishing, so I don't know. Maybe I'll get into that. So I'll talk to Teed about it. That would be kind of, oh, great idea. What about a vlog going with Teed and Corey Anderson on a 1-day hunting trip, 2-day hunting trip? That's actually a really cool idea. I don't even have to hunt. I'll get a bow or whatever. I don't even have to hunt. I'll just hang out, be quiet, and just experience. I think that would be a really cool idea. So we'll see what happens, guys. Also, big shout out to my boys, Damien and Chicky. They're going to be on a new series called The Flanagans. And if you guys have been watching, I'm their new producer. So I'm really excited about that. We just went to Worcester Street. We did a food review, so you guys can go check that out. They're going to be coming back down soon to do a food review at Louis Lunch right here in New Haven, Connecticut. And Louis Lunch, in case you guys don't know, it's always on the Food Network. It's always on the Travel Channel. It's the first place they ever made cheeseburgers in America. On planet Earth, it's a couple blocks away from me here. So we got that to look forward to. Also, I got a lot of new content out, guys. Make sure you subscribe down below on YouTube, youtube.com/pureevilmma. We got all the links at pureevilmma.com, all the latest MMA news and interviews. And that does it for this episode number 233. I'm Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA, pureevilmma.com. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles to the end. Paper size.